This episode is sponsored by My Race Time Tracker. To learn more about how to track and share your races, visit MyRaceTimeTracker.com. You're listening to the Embrace Running Podcast. I'm Mark.
I'm Elena, and this is episode number 104 for January 14th, 2014.
Welcome to the podcast where we talk running, everything that that entails. We're about halfway through January.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, have the gyms cleared out a little bit?
I don't know. I haven't been there this week, so we'll see when I go later this week.
Yeah, you've actually been sick the last 2 days,
right.
Which is, we're recording this on Tuesday. Normally we're on Mondays, but kind of put it off a day because you were sick.
Yeah, I have some sort of stomach bug, so you know that's always fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So hopefully you're a little bit better right now.
Yeah, okay. I feel a little bit better right now.
All right, what do we have today? We're going to, of course, share our week. Mm-hmm. We're going to get into kind of some running news, kind of what's going on in the running world, kind of getting back to, seems like normal.
Post-holiday. After like kind of some special episodes.
Yeah, more stuff
holiday
going on.
Stuff.
And then we did a race this past weekend.
Right.
Did the Hot Chocolate 15K. So we're going to, probably the second half or bottom third of the show, we'll be giving our race report and how that went. So let's start it off with our week. I'll let you go first as usual.
All right. So, gosh, seems like I can't even remember the week, but I think I had a pretty good week overall. Again, easing back from kind of my foot ankle pain. It hasn't come back, knock on wood. So that's good. I'm still doing the stretches and everything. But I managed to do 5 days of running, although overall not a lot of mileage. I think it was like just under 26 miles. So a little less than I had planned for during the week, but I'll see if I can improve on that as the weeks go on. 3 days of getting on the bike and 3 days of weight training. So I was able to do some cross training. So happy there. I was really excited to start like this week off strong and okay, I'm really going to start, you know, ramping up my mileage, but now I'm, you know, just like kind of laying in bed. So we'll see when I can get out there and put some miles in. Something different for this week that I think I mentioned on the last show was that I was going to be out in San Francisco actually for the rock and roll. Well, it was a couple of reasons, but the rock and roll San Francisco course launch party. I think I got that right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they hadn't released the course yet. Or announced it, even though we're already registered.
Yeah,
and a lot of other people are registered, so.
Right, registered a long time ago, not knowing at all where this race would be, really.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be in San Francisco.
Right.
But
that's
all I really had. And I knew it'd be 13.1 miles somewhere in San Francisco.
And we knew it would incorporate the Golden Gate Bridge, and if they announced that it didn't, then I think there would have been a lot of very upset people.
Right.
So that was, I think, a safe assumption.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it ended up kind of working out that I headed over there because I actually had to go to the same place to do packet pickup for the hot chocolate race that we were doing the next day. So it's like, oh, and then when I found out they were doing this course launch party, I'm like, well, yeah, I'll just go sooner and go to the launch party, you know, and kind of do it all together. So I've never been to a course launch party. I don't know if anybody else. I mean, I can't imagine that there's that many of them around.
It's kind of an unusual
thing. Yeah, but, you know, rock and roll competitor group, you know, parties. So, you know, they had food, they had a raffle, you know, so people won like some shoes and some free entries to the race. They had a massage, and then they also had a run. So ended up being, I think, like 3.6 miles there in the city, and it was foggy, a little misty, but not cold, not windy. So it was pretty good weather, kind of like what you would envision San Francisco weather to be like. So that was actually a lot of fun. And then they, you know, announced the course. So they had like a map of the course, and then they also had their video that they tend to do with their races where you can actually see the course or the course has been driven and they've, you know, videotaped it so you can see where you're going to be running. So it does include the bridge.
Right.
And different from this year, which is no surprise, I don't think, is that you're still running on Golden Gate Bridge, but you're not on the pedestrian path this time.
Right.
So they're actually closing off some lanes.
Yeah. They'll have three lanes, which I'm assuming is similar to what they do for the San Francisco Marathon.
Right.
Last year was the pedestrian path because they had taken over that race from, I forgot the name of the company.
US Half?
Yeah, it's the US Half.
Right. So, yeah, and then it's a point-to-point course. Mm-hmm. So I know some people are a little upset about how that's going to work in terms of shuttling, because you're going to have to shuttle from one to the other at some point. So, you know, details to come on that. But we've done shuttles before with rock and roll races and haven't had any issues. We've done it with San Diego. Right. We did it with Virginia Beach, too. So
we did? Virginia Beach?
Yeah.
I remember San Diego, and there was no issues and no problem.
Yeah.
San Diego was easy just because I think the parking was at or near SeaWorld.
Right.
Right? So you had a huge parking lot. RNRSF is going to finish near City Hall. I don't think, what do they call that over there? Civic Plaza?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Something like that.
And I'm sure there's some garages around, but you know, there's not like we had at SeaWorld, not a huge flat parking lot that's really easy to get in and out. So
right.
I'm slightly worried about how the logistics will be on that day, but we'll see.
And I know for Virginia Beach, they shuttled us from the finish area, which was like on the boardwalk, to the parking lot, the main parking lot. So, So I don't know. I guess we'll see.
And that race will start at either 6:30 or 7. There's not actually even a for sure
time. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Depending where you go on the website, you'll actually see a couple of different times, or it'll just say to be determined.
Right. So, but at least we got some answers in terms of the course itself. It's going to be, it looks like the last couple miles are going to be hilly.
Yeah,
which, looks, I mean, you're in San Francisco, so, yeah.
Yeah, if you've never been to San Francisco, definitely hilly, depending on where you're going there.
Unless you're just, like, on the Embarcadero, and that's pretty much it. Or running the perimeter. Yeah, unless you're just running, like, the perimeter of the city.
Yeah, the video definitely made it look scary.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, I got to run up that and that and that and that.
Right.
But it's a slightly different course than a lot of other races use in the city, so.
Which is kind of nice, I think, you know, have something different. And that'll be good training for Big Sur, which will be a few weeks after that.
That's a good point.
Get some hills in anyways.
Good point.
Yeah. So, but it was, you know, the party itself, it was nice. You know, just, you know, I went by myself, which, believe it or not, I'm a little like shy, and I don't want to say antisocial, but, you know, I'm not super outgoing. Mm-hmm. I know that might surprise some people because we do this, but, you know, not knowing anybody out there, and just talking to people that are just there, just to, you know, whether they were doing the race or not. There's actually quite a few people who weren't registered for the race, may not even register for it, but they're like, oh, we just saw there's going to be like a group run and, you know, that sort of thing. And so it's like, oh, it's kind of nice. So something else actually that was unexpected, though, was that they have a new Cali combo medal for rock and roll. So it's if you do any 3 of the 4 California races this year, you get this special medal. So I think the 4 are San Francisco, San Jose, San Diego, and L.A.? Yeah. So if you do any 3 of the 4, you'll get this medal. I like the idea of having a Cali Combo medal. I'm not a huge fan of what it actually looks like, personally. So just, you're like dying to say something, but, you know, I took a picture so I could show you because I knew you'd want to see it. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's not the greatest looking thing I've ever seen, but whatever. It's extra bling, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't, it's just something extra for free.
Right.
If you happen to do them. So I don't know if it's reason enough to go do an extra race if you're going to do 2 in California.
Right.
But I think we've always said before, if you happen to be a California resident, it's kind of easy to drive up and down the state and do all these R&R races or any of these races in California that have these medals for doing multiple. So.
So yeah, so that was, I mean, it was fun. And I think we'll talk about it a little bit more later, but picked up packets for hot chocolate without a problem. And these events are actually at a sports basement, which we've talked about that store before. And there's a lot of other events going on there too. So I actually did a little bit of shopping and got some fuel supplies, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was my week. So, and now I'm sick. So hopefully getting better and I'll have a better week this week, maybe. Okay.
Hopefully.
So, yeah. So how was your week?
I guess. So this is week number 1 for me. So 16 week training plan to Big Sur. Okay. So that was week 1. It's kind of weird because I call it a really good week, although it kind of had some weird things, I guess, during the week. So, and I'll talk about my training plan, I guess, as we
go
over the next couple months. But my training plan, I'm just doing 3 runs a week, 3 days a week. I'm not going to try to tackle more than that. Try to stay healthy. The knee is felt actually okay this week, and I'll talk about it at the race. But feeling as good as I think it's going to be over the next couple months. So I really don't want to do any extra days, but got my 3 runs in, got the exact mileage that I was supposed to get in.
Yeah.
Was a busy week overall. My plan, I think I mentioned, was I'm going to hop on the bike 1 day a week. I did that.
Yay.
And I was going to hop on the rowing machine once a week. I did that.
And actually row. Just not hop on it. I'm on the rower.
That's a good point. You know, I could have just taken a book and sat down and, you know, put in my time. So.
Take a picture to prove I'm on the rower.
So both of those, I did really short workouts just because basically first time back on the bike or on the machine in a really long time. So I'm taking it really slow.
Well, that's to ease back into something that you haven't done in a while. So.
Yeah, I don't want to hop on the bike and try to, you know, bike for an hour and a half.
Right.
And then get off and go, oh, you know, something is
killing me.
And
you can't run for like 3 weeks.
Right. So real easy. My plan for this marathon cycle is to do 2 days of strength training, which I did not do. So that's why I say kind of some things on the week didn't go according to plan. So I actually didn't do the strength training. And then Saturday was supposed to be a cross-training day where I just kind of did whatever. And I didn't do any of that just because I kind of had a full schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of forgot about it late in the day. We had the race next morning, so that just went out the window. But I'm still happy with three runs and those two, you know, cross training days that I did. So I'm still calling the week a success. Pretty happy with it. I'm still excited to kind of start this marathon training and hopefully get to Big Sur healthy and much more prepared than I have been for the last couple races.
That makes sense.
I also going to mention on Tuesday I ran with Mike Hayanos, which is the first time I ran with him in a long time.
Because you've been running in
Hokas for the last 3 months, three and a half months, 4 months. I have no idea what it's been. My legs immediately said, you know, where the hell did the Hokas go? Bring the Hokas back.
What are these things?
Or I think my legs said, why don't you put on some shoes? And I'm like, no, I have shoes on.
No, just, really, put on some shoes.
It's weird. Just getting used to the cushioning in the Hokas, it was kind of a dramatic change and super
noticeable.
I could
see that, yeah.
And actually kind of bothered my right shin a little bit. But yeah, it was kind of weird. So my plan was to actually run once a week in my Kayanos, like my short day. But I might just throw that out the window and just stick with Hokas for the next 4 months. So
okay. We'll see. At least you're Big Sur. And then it'll be at least through mountains to beach. And then it'll, no.
I mean, interesting. If I'm going to wear the Kayanos on any consistent basis, I kind of need to do it now while my mileage is still a little bit lower.
That's a good point.
So if I don't do
ease
it
into those
next,
too.
If I don't do it the next couple of weeks, then I'm not going to be wearing them at all and just stick to the Hokas. But I really like the idea of rotating shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And not only, you know, to some people, rotating shoes means I have two pairs of Kayanos and I switch between them. I kind of like the idea of switching between two totally different shoes.
Right.
So, you know, whether you have some Kayanos and maybe some Brooks Adrenalines, kind of equivalents,
yeah, whatever it could be,
mixing that up. But my legs did not like that idea, so I might throw that out the window.
Well, it's the first time you kind of
have done it. Yeah. So we'll see. Maybe I'll.
So maybe do it. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe try it again on a short run this week and then see how you feel.
I have to go run after this podcast, so
That's right.
I'll see what I throw on. I don't know.
Okay.
All right. So yeah, I think that was it for my week. Right. I'm trying to think if I missed anything. No, I think that's it. All right, let's kind of move on to some topics here. Big races this weekend. Like we said, holidays are over. We're kind of getting back to full schedule of things going on. Probably the biggest thing that was going on this past weekend was Walt Disney World Marathon weekend.
Yeah.
So everybody out there doing the goofy and the dopey. I was going to combine those two.
You're going to say
one.
Dopey? Yeah.
I was going to create a new one. I like Disney doesn't have enough of those races.
I know.
But, if you were out there running those, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you had a blast. Hope you had a lot of fun because it definitely can be some fun. Can be tough too.
Right.
If you're, you know, especially if you're doing the marathon or maybe you're doing, you know, back-to-back races or all four races can be tough. But also Hot Chocolate SF was this past weekend, which obviously we're going to talk about. Mississippi Blues Marathon, First Light Marathon in Alabama, Cadbury Marathon in Tasmania, and the Bandera 100K in Texas. There's also a 50K and a 25K.
Yeah.
All right. What are we? Did I cut you off?
No.
Okay.
All right. We're good.
We're going to start off, I guess, with old business. So last week, I think maybe we confused some people and maybe we didn't. We were talking a little bit twice during the show. We talked about running logs and we actually mentioned the running logs that we use. And several people emailed us to get copies of our running log.
Right.
But just kind of want to clarify that the main running log that we use and kind of have used for years now is actually an Excel file.
Right.
That's super customized, pretty robust, kind of has a lot of things in there.
Very detailed.
But it's an Excel file on our kind of local computers, so it's not like an online website that we go to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of worked for us for a very long time, and I think we still both like it. So I actually found out after we recorded that the original file is actually online. So I'll put a link in the show notes, or if you kind of want our copy, we already emailed it to several people. We've got no problem emailing it to anybody.
Yeah, just let us know.
We'll share that with everybody. It's actually the David Hayes Excel file. You can also just Google that. It'll
and you
probably
can,
come up.
I mean, you can customize it. You know, like there's tabs on there that I don't even use. I could probably delete, but I mean, they're there. So, yeah.
Yeah, the file is actually pretty complicated. And it's funny because if you went back probably 5 years ago, I had it super customized even more. I had like cross training tabs on there and all kinds of stuff. But I kind of ditched all that just to kind of make it a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way we've been going for a long time, and it serves us well. I've definitely tried different websites and kind of online stuff over the years, and I've never been super happy with them.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I would advise if you're using an online running log is just be careful, because what happens if that website closes down tomorrow? Are you going to be upset that you lose everything? Yeah, is your stuff gone? Do you have a way to download it or back it up or anything like that? So, yeah, just want to mention that. Like I said, we'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, so we actually use an Excel file. Yeah.
Yeah, Excel file, local computer. It's good. I mean, make sure if you do something like that, you back it up on your own.
Right.
Always back up your own computer.
Exactly.
But I have no problem taking responsibility to do that. And I have multiple copies. And it is kind of a bummer that you can't enter your stuff elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're out running with your iPhone or like your Android phone.
Yeah, just on your phone.
You know, we kind of have to basically do everything twice in a lot of ways. But I kind of like that.
Yeah.
It also makes an additional backup because I kind of do all my runs with Run Meter.
And then you transfer that information manually into the Excel file.
Into the Excel file. So.
Right.
And Run Meter actually also automatically imports that into my Google Calendar. So I actually have three backups.
There you go.
Because, I mean, it's very important to me to keep track of all these stats.
Yeah. I think I have just one backup. And that's just for my miles. That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Unfortunately, got to start with kind of a sad story. A woman by the name of Meg Menzies was tragically killed by a drunk driver while out for her morning run on January 13th, mm-hmm. which was actually yesterday. She was an avid runner, member of the Richmond Roadrunners Club. She was a Boston Marathoner. It's kind of just a crazy story of being out on your morning run and a drunk driver. And an accident happens, and unfortunately, we're left with a tragedy.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sad reminder.
Yep.
To kind of try to be safe out there. Although, like we were discussing before the show, I don't know what you could do to avoid something like this. I mean, you can try to be aware of your surroundings, but...
That's a really unexpected, you know, from like a runner point of view, what can you really do? I mean, unless you see from, you know, way ahead that somebody's swerving and driving unsafely, but other than that, it's kind of, I mean, yeah, there's not much you can do.
Yeah. So that's been kind of making its way around the internet. The story, there is a Facebook event page because they're trying to organize for this coming Saturday, January 18th, to go out and basically do a run for Meg.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a way to kind of increase awareness against drunk driving. So to quote from their page, it actually says, take in the fresh air, be aware of your surroundings, right. Keep your headphones on low,
mm-hmm.
feel the heaviness in your lungs, the soreness in your legs, and be grateful for it all. For all of it, the sweat, the pain, the wind, the cold, everything, be grateful for that moment.
Right.
So, I would definitely, you know, tap onto that and encourage you to go out and run on Saturday, put some miles in there for Meg. And, I think we'll definitely put a link in the show notes, to the Facebook page. I think they're creating a Facebook group to go along with that. And I think they're doing an online map where you can kind of go and put in your name and your location and how many miles you ran and all that. So,
okay.
Kind of cool. Just wanted to share that with everybody. Unfortunately, another tragedy.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So let's try to move on here to some running news. Let's talk about...
Kind of no easy transition here. We're just going to completely switch.
I don't know how to do that
at all. Yeah. We're just going to switch here.
Let's talk about Reach the Beach, which is a relay actually out on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
Was actually in Massachusetts and New Hampshire.
Right.
So they've actually partnered up with Ragnar for their Massachusetts race. They're basically going to roll their Massachusetts race in with Ragnar Cape Cod.
Mm-hmm.
And so they call it a partnership. They're basically combining those two races. They're supposedly still going to be doing Reach the Beach, New Hampshire, kind of
as is, not really
changing it. I know there was a lot of fears of, you know, what that would mean for the New Hampshire race, because obviously, you know, kind of rolling the other one into Cape Cod. So it's going to kind of be the Ragnar usual way of doing things.
Right.
I had no idea people were talking about, you know, with Ragnar, we're used to providing three volunteers or paying for them.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Reach the Beach didn't have that. So I know a lot of people were concerned about whether they would have to do that or not.
Right.
So I don't know. Reach the Beach is a relay that I'm actually not super familiar with it. I've heard about it for years because it's been around for a long time. And I know a lot of people definitely on the East Coast like it a lot. So it'll be interesting to kind of see what the future of that holds.
See how this transforms?
Yeah. Over the next couple of years. Speaking of Ragnar, I have to mention that Ragnar Lake Tahoe has actually been, they say, postponed for the year.
Mm-hmm.
I just say canceled for the year. It's kind of my word.
Right.
They're not going to do Ragnar Trails Lake Tahoe 2014. They're going to kind of take the extra time to improve the event, probably move it to a different location for 2015, and then hopefully bring it back with better location and kind of improve some of the things that didn't go maybe as great as they would want it to.
Right.
And they basically just didn't have enough time to get all that done for 2014, so they're putting it all off to 2015.
Yeah, so they have time to kind of provide an event how they would want to, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And we were definitely, you know, I definitely, you know, had some critical issues with some of the things that they did in Tahoe last year. And was actually excited for them to kind of improve on that for this year, but it looks like we'll have to wait.
We'll have to wait until next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, the interesting thing is I actually was brought on as a, what they call a trail warrior, mm-hmm. which is essentially an ambassador for the trail series, specifically for the Tahoe race. So I had kind of been working on helping promote that race in this area. But with this announcement in terms of it being postponed until 2015, won't be specifically promoting the Tahoe race until 2015. So I think they're, I'll stay on for that in 2015, but I will be helping to promote some of their other trail races. I think the closest one for this year to us in this area is actually Vail Lake in mm-hmm. Southern California. They also have one in Colorado and a couple in Utah and one in Arizona. So
yeah, we were actually talking to some of our team from last year over the weekend, trying to figure out, you know, like, oh, should we go to Vail Lake? Should we go to Utah? Should we?
We're not going to go to Tahoe this year.
We're not going to Tahoe.
Yeah, so. we can try it again next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Just a quick note I want to mention for local people. Oakland Running Festival just posted their medals for the upcoming race this year. That's a race we're not registered for at all, but kind of have in the back of our head.
I think we always kind of have it in the back of our head, and we haven't done it, but this year could be different.
Maybe.
I think this is one of the races that we will definitely do at some point, mm-hmm. but it's one of those that it's so close that you're like, oh, okay, if I didn't do it this year, I'll just do it next year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Hokas, I was talking about my Hokas and my love for the cushioning earlier. Hokas got some new shoes coming out this coming fall. I was actually over at Running Warehouse. They had a pretty good blog post, which I'll link to, about it. But they have two new shoes coming out, and they're both kind of shooting for being a lighter weight shoe. So kind of the same Hoka cushioning that you're used to, just in a lighter package.
How are they going
to
do that?
Basically, I think they're changing the midsole.
Interesting.
To kind of shave some of the weight out. So they're coming out with a new, it's called the Hoka Huaka. I don't know, pronunciation, best I could do. And then the Hoka Clifton.
Okay.
I'm liking the Clifton just based on name.
Yeah, that one sounds easy to pronounce.
I know the Huaka is a 2 millimeter drop. The Clifton's a 5 millimeter drop. They're both actually a little bit cheaper. I think like the Bondi's are like usually around 170 MSRP.
Mm-hmm.
And these come in, I think, at 150 or 130. So they'll be available in the fall.
Is that because they're lighter, so you're paying less?
You're paying by the ounce, right? Apparently. Remember one time we did, what was it, price per mile?
Yeah.
We're going to do shoe prices per ounce. Yeah. So, but yeah, these shoes actually come in at some pretty impressive numbers in terms of weight. On my run with Kayanos, I actually did notice, like, you know, I missed the cushioning, and I was like, ooh, this is kind of a lot more pounding. But I did kind of feel faster.
Did you feel like less weighed down in terms of your shoes, necessarily?
And truthfully, I don't know. The Kayanos are not exactly a lightweight shoe, so I don't know what the true weight difference is. But you just kind of feel lighter,
mm-hmm.
and you feel kind of closer to the ground,
yeah,
like more in touch with the road. Mm-hmm. So, so some lighter Hokas might not be the worst thing in the world. So
sounds like something you'd probably try.
I would actually. Yeah. That's actually one of the shoes I might be looking forward to. The other shoe leads us to our next story. I was actually also on Running Warehouse. They were talking about predictions for 2014, kind of in the shoe market,
mm-hmm.
kind of what the trends are and what's going on. The one thing they said is maximalism will continue. So obviously the more cushioned approach, kind of a little bit more shoe. You know, we kind of did the lightweight barefoot
minimalist
thing for a while,
right?
And kind of definitely Hoka is one of those shoes that have definitely gone the opposite direction.
Yeah.
And they're basically saying that trend will kind of continue. They actually cited the shoe that I was talking about, the Brooks Transcend, which is a new shoe coming out this year. I think it's going to be available February 1st.
Oh, so that's another one you wouldn't mind trying?
I wouldn't mind trying because I think it actually replaced the Brooks Trance, which is pretty close to the Kayano.
Okay.
But I think it's going to have a little bit more cushion to it, and it's going to have a little bit, I think it's going to be a 10 millimeter drop. I'm not sure. But it seems like it might be a good shoe for me, actually, personally. So,
yeah.
Although I tried the Trance on before and I wasn't. I think the toe box was a little bit too tight for me. It was my issue in the past. But I'm looking forward to the Brooks Transcend. But that's one of those kind of shoes that, you know, it's just getting a little bit more cushion. Kind of going that opposite direction of the minimalist thing. So,
well, I don't know if it's true for all of the Brooks shoes or if it translates to the Transcend. But I know for the Adrenaline GTSs, they're actually not going as narrow on their toe boxes.
Okay.
So like the GTS 14, which is this year's, is a little bit wider. I think same thing for the trail. So they're trail shoes. So I wonder if that's the case too with the Transcend. If maybe the toe box won't feel as small or narrow as the Trance.
Yeah. I hope so. Because my toes like room. I don't, you know,
like room.
See the reason for
my toes like
that
room
up.
Too. Just not tons of room, but you know, room. Actually, one thing I forgot to mention about the R&R course launch party, I actually got to try out some Adrenaline GTS 14s.
Which is what you run it.
Well, I don't run in 14s. You run in 13s. I think I have like 12s and 13s that I kind of rotate through right now.
So, Did it feel any different?
Yeah. It actually, like, well, the toe box just felt a little roomier. Like my toes were like, ooh, there's some like room in here. Yeah.
This is first class.
But it wasn't like too wide, you know? Right. So anyways, back to the shoes.
Back to the shoes, kind of what they talk about for the upcoming year. They say durability is going to be a focus for shoes that are coming out over the next year. So that's a good thing. We kind of want our shoes to last.
I would always be a focus.
Yeah, I would hope so. I don't know why. They did mention that. Kind of the third point they mentioned is manufacturers will pay more attention to traditional. So it's kind of that same thing of, to a certain degree, this minimalist trend has kind of, I don't want to say come and gone, but what they found is definitely most people are kind of, in the largest number, sticking to kind of their traditional shoes.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to kind of pay more attention to that over the next year, maybe two. And maybe the most or least interesting one is that white will be making a comeback. So they're saying a lot of the shoes that are coming out in 2014 are going to have a lot more white than kind of what we've seen over the last couple of years.
So maybe a little less colorful than what we are used to lately?
Yeah, they actually, I don't have the picture here. Oh yeah, they had a picture of some Mizunos that, yeah, basically the whole upper was all white with a black logo, but the bottom still had a bunch of red and yellow. So maybe it'll still, I think, definitely had a lot of...
It'll have some color.
Some color mixed in there. So you're not going to see any straight up white 100% shoes. Okay. But, yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Yeah, I like white actually, but I like to keep it simple.
Yeah, I like white with like an accent color or two accent colors. Mm-hmm. Nothing too crazy.
All right, what else we got? Elites at the Boston Marathon. Kind of have a bunch of names that are going to be there.
So U.S. elites.
U.S. elites. So, I mean, this is kind of going to be a special Boston Marathon, obviously, with what happened this past year. But we're definitely going to have a lot of big name Americans who are going to be out there for the race. So should I just rifle these off?
Yeah.
Desi Davila Linden. Did she get married?
She must have.
Apparently, I was oblivious. But, yeah. Yeah, I guess her last name now is Linden. Shalane will be out there. Amy Hastings, Serena Berla, Adriana Nelson, Dathan Ritzenheim, Meb, of course, kind of the biggest name, I think, right now, at least for the men. Brett Gotcher, Jason Hartman, Nick
Arciniaga.
Thank you.
Okay.
And Jeffrey Eggleston. So a lot of big U.S. names. I mean, it'll be cool seeing Meb out there. And Shalane and Desi Davila Linden.
Right. And they've all competed in either U.S. For the U.S. in either Olympic or World Championships. So, yeah.
Yeah. I'm most looking forward to Desi just because she's been kind of out with an injury.
I know.
Basically for, it seems like forever, but I think maybe
it's probably
a
been
year.
Like a year, yeah. But it seems like forever ago.
So speaking of U.S. elites, we talked before about Carrie Goucher making a move back to Colorado, kind of where she spent all her college years training and kind of going back to her old coaches. And the rumor this week was she was actually looking for a different primary sponsor. She's been with Nike, of course, for years.
Right.
And I guess she's been floating it out there that she might want to have a different major sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, this is where the sponsorship is where these runners make all their money.
Right.
There's not a ton of money in the actual running
race
itself.
Yeah.
It's the sponsorships where you can make the most, especially for someone like Carrie Goucher, who's, you know, arguably the best known female currently competing at the highest level. So it'll be interesting. I think her Nike contract's a little bit weird. So I don't know if she'll necessarily be able to get with another sponsor.
Like right now.
Cleanly or
yeah,
how that's going to work.
Gonna work.
They just mentioned some issues with that. So,
but interesting to hear just some changes with her in terms of even just the move and then now maybe change in sponsor. Well, I think the change in sponsorship is probably going to happen at some point. It's just one.
Seems like she just has a lot going on. You know, she's moving. She's kind of changing coaches. She wants to change the sponsorship.
Yeah.
Maybe she just wants to kind of flip everything and
maybe
go for a 100% change and do that a try. So,
yep. Kind of start fresh in a way.
Can't argue with that.
Yeah.
Interesting article that thanks to Melissa for sending it over, was actually over on the Runner's World website. And it was basically a satire article.
Yeah.
And the title...
Although not everybody picked up on that right away.
Yeah, I think that was actually the funniest part. But title of the article is Disney Acquires Badwater 135, which is the ultra out there in Death Valley. And just kind of, it's just, you know, a funny article kind of describing what would happen and maybe what it would be like if Disney did take over a 135-mile ultra.
Ultra, right.
So the article is pretty funny with what was in there. I kind of liked, you know... Some of my favorites was they mentioned photo opportunities with your favorite Disney characters at miles 2, 5, 8, 12, 14. It just kind of continues on.
Yeah, like 58, 62, 125, 128, 133.
You know, definitely talked about fireworks at the start and personalized bib and, you know, wave starts to accommodate, you know, 25,000 people. And
Oh, and then in addition, the event's tough qualifying standards are being eliminated.
Right.
We want everyone to join this weekend of fun.
And of course, they mentioned they would add the half bad water, right. which would be a 67.5 mile race.
And then the big bad water challenge.
Which would be...
So if you complete a 5K, a 10K, a half bad water, and bad water.
Yeah, so it's actually a funny read. Mm-hmm. I think the funniest thing is if you go check out the article is to read down all the comments. A lot of people didn't get it at first.
Right.
So there's actually people that are upset.
That actually thought that Disney really did.
Buy an ultra marathon.
Right. Yeah.
Which is just crazy. But, right. But it was definitely a funny read. And I think at some point the race director for Badwater actually commented
yeah.
somewhere that he was actually getting a lot of emails and questions and upset people and actually asked that the...
Wanted them to put a disclaimer or retraction to state that the post is entirely fictional.
Yeah, which I think should be there.
Right.
Anyway, so I can't really argue with that. So.
Yeah. But it was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So let's talk about non-US elites. Kind of the big race coming up in April is the London Marathon. Kind of the biggest, I guess the biggest name that's going to be there is Mo Farah. But I guess there was an article just recently talking about how that the competition is actually going to be really tough. This could actually be a really good, exciting race if you're interested in watching marathon level. Elites compete.
Mm-hmm. Even though Kenenisa Bekele is actually not going to be there.
Yeah, so that's kind of the bummer.
That's kind of the bummer.
Kind of was looking for, we talked before about kind of looking forward to them kind of like going
head to head. Yeah.
But he's not going to be there. Wilson Kipsang will be there. Jeffrey Mutai will be there. Stephen Kiprotich will be there. Emmanuel Mutai will be there. Sagege Kabidi will be there. Yeah, that's the only name I had a hard time with.
You said it pretty good.
Did I?
Okay. Yeah, it sounded like you knew what you were saying.
I think there needs to be a class for runners that goes over all these names and pronunciations would really help us out quite a bit.
I think like next to the article where they have the name, you know how you put like links or it links you to the like another page? It should have like a little speaker button that you just hit play and then it says the name of the person. That's what I think.
That actually should be really helpful. Just
like Mo Farah, you know, like that or something. So then you'd click it on somebody else, you know, and they'd be like,
actually,
Wilson Kipsang, you know, something like that. So
I could probably at least work on that for the podcast.
Oh, okay.
And just, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, you know, to have like a little, I think they should do that.
I don't know if I have the time for that, but.
Yeah, let's create something like that and we can get rich and retire.
Yeah, I wish.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to our race report from the Hot Chocolate 15K, did want to mention our sponsor for today's episode, which is My Race Time Tracker. We've let you know about them for a couple weeks now, mm-hmm. but My Race Time Tracker is an app designed with you, the runner, in mind. It's a great way to share your race with all your friends and family. Mm-hmm. Let them know what race you're doing, kind of how you're doing. So it's a really easy iOS app, Android hopefully coming soon. And you just kind of open the app, you know, pop in your race name, your name. You can make up a name if you want. You can put Awesome Mark.
You can put Mo Farah.
That's actually a really good idea. You know, select your race distance, whether it's 5K, 10K, half marathon, full marathon, and you're going to click new race. You're going to select whether you want to share it to Facebook or Twitter.
Or both.
You can also add in there the option to send it out via text message. So you just hit start race when you begin your race, and it's going to automatically tweet or post on your Facebook page your splits throughout the race. You're going to get several splits. And when you're done, you can kind of hit stop, or I think it'll actually do it automatically for you.
On the app when you're done racing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And share that with everybody. So it's a real easy way. I did that for the race 2 weeks ago. And mm-hmm. It was very cool.
And it worked out really well.
It's definitely worth checking out. Available in the iOS store. It's actually, like I always say, it's not just developed by a runner. For runners, it's actually a listener of the podcast.
Exactly.
So give them some support. Go and check it out. So once again, myracetimetracker.com or go directly to the iTunes store and just search for My Race Time Tracker. And we thank them for their support of the show.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's talk about hot chocolate.
Okay, I like it.
We're not going to talk about running. We're just going to talk about hot chocolate.
I like hot chocolate.
Okay, yeah. What else? That's kind of it.
I like it when it's really hot and it's when it's really chocolatey.
All right, so the race that we did, obviously, was the Hot Chocolate 15K. There's also a 5K.
Right.
In San Francisco. This could actually be of interest to a lot of you because, well, at least if you're in the U.S., because this is a race series. It's put on by Ram Racing. And it's all around the country.
Mm-hmm.
So you can find it in Atlanta, Chicago, Columbus, Dallas, Denver, Los Angeles, Minneapolis, Nashville, Philadelphia, Phoenix, San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, St. Louis. Okay, I'm tired.
It's lots of different locations, pretty much.
So that's got to be close to you if you're in the U.S.
Yeah.
And if you're in Canada, it's probably not that far from one of those. I don't
know. Or if you're traveling into the U.S. on a weekend they have the race. There you go.
All right.
Yeah.
So you did packet pickup on the weekend on Saturday.
Right.
Thankfully, you were able to pick up my packet.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't go.
And actually, our friend's packet, too, who was going to come with us, or who did come with us.
So, no problems there, right?
No.
Super easy?
Yeah. No, no race day packet pickup, but they made that clearly known ahead of time.
Right.
That they were not going to have race day packet pickup.
So you got our bibs. Mm-hmm. And with this race, you don't get a race shirt. You get actually a half zip hoodie.
Right.
As I think the best way to describe it.
Yeah.
So it's a black hoodie. We'll have pictures from the race and kind of the stuff that we got. It's all on our Facebook page or our Google Plus page. So go over there and you can kind of see what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. But it's a half zip hoodie. Looks pretty good. Has a little reflective piping in the front. Has a zipper pocket in the back.
In the back, yeah. And it's big enough to put like a phone or, you know, goo or I don't know.
I didn't even open the pocket. So okay. I'll take your word
for
it.
You don't even know if yours works.
That's true.
Yeah.
How would it not work?
Maybe the zipper stuck.
It's just broken.
Maybe. Yeah. So then there's actually, for the men's, it's actually accented with blue. Mm-hmm. And then your goodie bag or your race bag or whatever you want to call it is actually blue too. And then for the women's, it's accented in like purple.
Yeah.
And the same thing, the bag is purple. So it's kind of nice to have a different...
Colors.
Yeah. Thanks. I couldn't think of the word.
It's a color.
Thank you.
Yeah. Boys get blue. Girls get purple.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
The drawstring bag, I guess you would call
it. Yeah, there you go.
That we get was actually... It's actually a really good looking bag.
Mm-hmm.
You said, you know, it's in the color, but it's actually a really cool logo and looks cool. And
the hot chocolate on there?
Yeah. Did it have a zipper pocket?
No.
Never mind.
Okay.
Forgot to mention that. But it was actually a really cool bag. So.
But yeah, no problem with pickup. The only thing was they had, I guess, changed their hours for packet pickup like a day before or something. And kind of they didn't extend their hours, actually made them...
shorter.
Like, there you go. I'm like, what's the opposite?
Which ticked off a few people.
Yeah.
One guy in particular on Facebook was extremely upset. That,
right.
And
he's
I can't
very
really,
upset.
He was, I mean, I can't really blame him because, you know, packet pickup was supposed to start at 8 and they changed it to 10. And as he said it, you know, you changed it 15 hours before packet pickup.
Right.
The funny thing was there, you were there early.
Yeah. So I was there. So for the party, the course launch party was supposed to start at 9. I got there a little bit early and I saw people leaving with their drawstring bags already. And I thought, I said, well, you know, are they already picking it up? So I actually went over there to that side of the store and they actually were already, they weren't like fully open, I guess you can say, but they were actually already giving out bibs and everything. So I just went and picked it up. So even though it wasn't supposed to start until 10, originally supposed to start at 8, I was able to pick it up like at 8:45. So yeah, but no problem picking up.
Yeah. So he could have gone early.
He could have gone.
Yeah. The one thing, I mean, we'll mention it later, that is you do not get a finisher medal with this race.
No.
So it's just basically the hoodie is your big get from the race.
And the chocolate at the end.
And the chocolate.
But I mean, you know, that doesn't last, you know, long.
So where do we want to start with this? I guess I'm going to start with the fact that I had very low expectations for this race.
Okay.
Which I don't know if that sounds weird. But I know we kind of debated back and forth whether to do the race. I'd actually looked up, every time I'm kind of researching a race, I'll go online, try to find kind of people talking about past years or anything like that. And granted, there was no past year in San Francisco, but it's a big series. Seemed to find a lot of blog entries about the race they did like 2 years ago in Washington, D.C. that just didn't go well, had a lot of problems. So I had that in my mind. This was a race where I mentioned or alluded to last week about logistics.
Right, with transportation.
Parking was going to be kind of an issue. So... the race start and finish was the same spot, which was in Golden Gate Park in San Francisco, which is kind of our, if you're familiar with New York, it's kind of our version of Central Park in San Francisco.
It wasn't in the same exact spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, close enough.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, it wasn't like that same street or anything.
Okay.
But
yeah, so Golden Gate Park is kind of our miniature version of Central Park.
Right.
Here on the West Coast, I guess you could say, which is a very nice, beautiful park in San Francisco. Yeah. Same type of thing. But yeah, so start and finish were in the relatively same area.
Sure, yeah.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
And then what they wanted you to do was go to some designated parking garages or locations in the city and take a shuttle to get to the start. So they basically did not want you to park at or around Golden Gate Park.
Mm-hmm.
They said, please be considerate of the neighborhoods around and don't park there and please take advantage of our shuttle.
Right.
I think when I heard this, and we knew all this before we were registered. There were some people who apparently were very upset by this because they had registered before they knew they needed to shuttle into the race.
Mm-hmm.
And the shuttle had a cost to it. I think it was going to be
$8
per person for the shuttle. And then you'd have to pay for parking.
Right.
So I think parking was $8 or $10 or something like that. So people that had registered for the race not knowing this were kind of upset about that. Lots of comments on Facebook not liking it. A lot of people were just upset with the fact that you had to pay for the shuttle. A lot of people felt that it should just be free or included in your race entry.
Yeah.
Like a lot of races that do include it in race entry. I think everybody pretty much agreed that parking is kind of a normal thing.
Yeah.
No big deal
but
with that.
But at least the shuttle.
But the shuttle should have been included. So
especially if it's not going to be, you know, part of the information when you initially sign up.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's a fair criticism to have if you didn't know that when you registered, which was not the case with us. You know, we definitely knew what we were getting into.
Right.
I guess at the time. I think when they mentioned shuttles, I don't know why, I think I still had Berkeley in the back of my head. And I had this vision of
Berkeley Half Marathon.
Yeah, where you had to be shuttled back to the start. And I just, the line was like huge to board the shuttle. And I remember when we passed by there, the line was huge and there was no buses in sight.
Yeah.
So you're kind of looking at it
like
going,
you're waiting for a long time.
Yeah, this
time.
Is going to be a while. And thankfully we had a friend there who drove us so we could avoid that at the time.
Yeah.
But so I think I kind of had that in my head and I just thought this was going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And I had little interest in paying $8 for a shuttle and didn't want to hassle with all the parking. And, you know, when you have to shuttle after the race, you know, you just end up standing around for a while. And is that going to take a while? And, you know, you're just going to be there forever. And so that's kind of where I came with my low expectations for this race.
Mm-hmm.
Did I explain that enough?
I think so.
So there was actually three of us that went, like you mentioned, we had a friend that went out there with us. So I really didn't want to pay $8 a person for the shuttle. And I didn't want to do the pay for the parking too. All of that would have added, you know, I mean, not that it's a huge amount of money, but I don't know. Just didn't want to do it.
Right.
So I decided.
And didn't feel it was necessary, right?
Right. I didn't think it was necessary. So we decided just to go to the race and just basically look for parking.
Right. So we went really early.
Super early, which was the bummer.
Even early for us. You know, we're early. And it was early for us.
Super early. Which is crazy. What time did the race start?
Well, the interesting thing was the 5K started at 7:30 and the 15K started at 8:20, which is odd because usually the shorter distance starts later.
Right.
Right.
Kind of to, I guess, have everybody at the finish at similar times.
What, that normally?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of normally do it. So this is a little backwards, but. So, went to San Francisco pretty early. Was going to look for parking. I kind of wasn't necessarily planning on parking in front of somebody's house because that would be kind of considerate. But I know there's actually Keysar Stadium, which is where the 49ers played years and years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And there's actually a parking lot there. So I figured I would try to hit that parking lot and get parking there, which they actually did list on their website.
Yeah.
It's just funny. They never mentioned that in their
official
Facebook pages or their emails.
Got it.
But it was listed on the website. So
and we did get a lot of emails a week before on that transportation.
Oh, that's right. That's another thing. Some people were complaining that they got too many emails.
Yeah, they're like, okay, we get it. They're shuttles and we have to park here. Like, you know, you don't have to send me an email every single day. So
yeah, because I think the last week they probably sent 4 or 5
probably
emails, something like that. All basically with the shuttle transportation information, I think, in there. So so we had our plan to go out there. Was going to kind of look at Keysar Stadium as a parking lot option. But also decided maybe I would just look on the outskirts of Golden Gate Park because there's actually parking right outside the park. Headed that direction, saw some cars actually. Wasn't sure what was open inside Golden Gate Park because of the race and all that stuff. So we actually did make a turn into Golden Gate Park. And it's funny because I kind of made it right, made a left. And then I got to a stop and I was going to try to make a left out of the park.
Right.
And there was a cop actually there because we were kind of not too far from shuttle buses who directed me to go right in the park.
He's like, no, parking is over here. We're like, okay.
So made a right there and another right and easily found parking.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. The most hysterical part to me by the end of the day was we actually parked closer to the race than the shuttle drop off was.
Yeah. Yep.
And there was actually parking there up until probably the race start.
Yeah.
Because
when we were walking towards the race start, there was still parking even closer.
So if you're ever going to do it, come out and do Hot Chocolate SF and they do it the same next year, I'll tell you exactly where to go get awesome, cheap, free parking super close.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So we got there early, got the parking. That ended up being not a problem at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny. I could actually, we were sitting in the car because it was dark and cold.
Yeah.
So there was kind of no reason to get out the car and actually could see kind of the waves of people after they got dropped off and kind of heading towards the race.
From the shuttles?
Yeah. And which was a constant stream of people. Mm-hmm. But that's kind of the part that I feared the most and, you know, got there and parked and it was no problem. So,
but we did hear from other people that I actually saw at the race who use the shuttle system that there was absolutely no problem with the shuttle. It was smooth. They didn't have to wait a long time. And actually when we were leaving, I know I'm jumping ahead, but when we were leaving and we saw like the area, the corralled or I'll call it corralled area for, or the designated area for the shuttle pickup, there was like no line essentially.
You just walked right onto the bus.
So,
and there was
so it seemed like it was running smoothly.
Yeah. There was at least 4 buses there waiting.
Right.
So, I'm guessing the shuttle thing went off without a hitch and there was no problems. If anybody had a different scenario that was there, let us know. But that seemed easy. But I still prefer to just have my car right there.
Yeah.
Especially with how easy it was.
Right.
So got out there. It was out at the music concourse at Golden Gate Park was kind of the staging area for the race. So
very nice place.
Yeah, it's a nice... Actually, really, we kept saying, several of us that were there, like, oh, this is a really nice place to kind of have a race.
Have this, yeah.
Because there was lots of room for people to kind of spread out and hang out, and lots of people taking pictures there by the fountains, and we definitely did that. They had lots of different backdrops. You can go and kind of get your picture taken in front of it.
That the big blown up marshmallow guy named Marshall, who kind of looks like the Ghostbusters guy.
That's right.
Yeah, but, you know, is not the Ghostbusters guy.
Yeah, that was actually kind of cool. Yeah. They had a DJ there playing music, you know, before the event. They had water there before the race got started.
They had a merchandise tent.
Yeah, which is weird. But
They had plenty of porta potties, and not all like in one location. Like, they were scattered throughout the area, which was nice.
Yes.
Because they're all, it's not just like, oh, these right here, and that's all you have. It's, there was like four or five different places.
Yeah, there were lines, but there was plenty of porta potties. And actually, if you knew where to go, there was no line. Because I went to the porta potty about 15 minutes before the race and walked right up and right in. But that's because I think people didn't know they were there.
Yeah.
Which I think we've talked about always before. Look around. Don't stop at the first porta potty section that you see, because there's probably more.
Unless it's the only one. But look first.
But usually there's more. I always say that with R&R races, because definitely, they're like all over the place. Yeah. So you kind of have to look around, and you can usually find the short lines. But this was like amazingly short lines 15 minutes before.
And we thought that was probably going to be the last section of porta potties we saw before we got to the start in the corrals. Mm-hmm. And we actually saw a whole another section even closer. And those were pretty much empty too. Yeah. I mean, there's people just going in and out of them, but there's like absolutely no line. So. All right, so actually used Gear Check.
Oh, okay.
You didn't, but I did. And
I used Gear Check as far as I... Oh, wait, did I put anything in your bag?
No. Yeah, you put a long sleeve. Remember, because you're trying to figure out if you wanted to wear your long sleeve shirt or not. Yeah, so I guess you used my Gear Check, which was...
Works great for me.
Yeah, there you go. So not a problem. They did have a restriction in terms of the size of the bag that you were using. And I can't remember the exact size right now.
Just a typical drawstring
bag.
Yeah,
pretty much. So. Like that size. So.
And there was no, you had to use like a clear bag or anything like that. So.
Yeah. You just had to have your tag, you know, attached to it. So, yeah.
What else?
I think that's it for there.
So, race. I mean, it was kind of interesting because having the 5K so early, which at the time, the whole week leading up to the race, I couldn't understand why you would do the 5K first and then have the 15K and... we were walking towards the start line, and it was weird because there's people coming in who finished the 5K.
Yeah.
And it was like basically the crowds were just about to start coming in from finishers of the 5K, and that just seemed weird. So we saw that, went towards the start line. The interesting thing was they had corrals that were actually very well sectioned and closed off, and they actually had volunteers kind of manning the entry into the corrals, and actually... Every volunteer group that I saw was actually checking. Bibs. Mm-hmm. It was weird because bibs for the 15K was, they used the letter system. Mm-hmm. It was F up.
Right.
And I guess the 5K was A.
Through E.
Through E. So that was kind of weird because when we got bibs the day before and we were looking at it and like, oh, that's really far back. That's
how are we that far back?
Really smoking fast people in this race, or really small corrals is what I said, but they kind of did it where separate corrals, which is weird because did they change the signs? Because they had big signs with the letters, so I'm assuming
they must have
changed them out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think they did five corrals for each race. A, B, C, D, E.
That's five.
Counting here. And I think it's the first four all had signs on them that said no walkers.
Yeah.
So they definitely wanted to put walkers in the last corral. In the last corral. So, we jumped in the corral with like 10 minutes to go before the race, which is actually really late for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
worked out fine.
Worked out fine. Perfect. It didn't seem crowded or crazy. We should say that total number of people there was around 10,000 people.
Yeah.
Which ended up being, I think you have the numbers.
Yeah. It was 4,046 15K finishers and then 5,585 5K finishers.
Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit more in the 5K, but
not a lot more though.
Yeah.
I would have thought, I don't know why, but I would have thought the numbers would be skewed more towards the 5K than they actually were.
It's just weird because it didn't seem like 10,000 people were out there.
Nope.
Which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely didn't feel like crazy or hectic or crowded or anything like that.
At any point, whether it was like pre-race in the corrals, on the course, or post-race, it didn't feel jam-packed at all.
Right.
Yeah.
So 10 minutes before we're in our corrals, they have an announcer there to kind of talking everything through. And
you could hear him, you know, pretty well.
Yeah, we were kind of pretty close to the front.
True. Yeah, I forgot about that.
But I'll just assume they had a lot of speakers going back.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
And the race started on time.
Yeah, my biggest thing pre-race was figuring out, like, what to wear.
Yeah, it was...
Because, I mean, it was a clear day, but it is San Francisco, and you're going to be running close to the ocean at one point, so it's kind of hard to figure out what to wear. So I ended up wearing, in case anybody's wondering, I don't know why they wonder, but I had capris and a short sleeve tech shirt and my arm warmers. So the one thing I couldn't decide on until last minute were gloves, and I decided to not bring them. So I checked them in my bag, and it worked out fine. I actually probably would have been okay without my arm warmer. So
yeah.
Yeah.
And in case anybody wants to know what I was wearing.
Yeah. What were you wearing?
I was wearing shorts.
Uh-huh.
Just a, you know, tech shirt, arm warmers, my A6 arm warmers.
What color was your shirt? Oh. No, I'm just kidding.
I don't know. I'm sure it was blue, right?
You usually wear blue.
Okay. I'm famous for wearing blue at, you know, 80% of the races that I run. Yeah. So, and I actually did wear gloves. So it was cold, but it wasn't, you know, for those of you on the East Coast in Canada, it wasn't freezing or anything like that. So,
it was, but it wasn't even cold by like CIM standards either.
No. Although I will say that people definitely were overdressed.
Yeah. People had, you saw people carrying a lot of layers like on the course.
I was like, oh, you know, people are shedding jackets and right. a lot of stuff. And
like, oh, you brought your Snuggie. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. No, people definitely
had a lot of layers.
Had too much on. But it was weird because when we, you know, we did run by the beach down there and it was, there was like no breeze, no wind.
That's like the nicest I've ever, ever seen that area. And that's like being born and raised in Northern California in the Bay Area. That's like the nicest and like, I guess, warmest, I guess, really, yeah. too.
And for those that know, we're kind of talking about being down there by Ocean Beach.
Yeah.
I've never been down there with no breeze, no wind, no
nothing. No fog. So. Couldn't believe it right there.
But, I've had no fog. But, yeah. But the lack of wind down by the beach was kind of crazy.
There, yeah, so. Yeah. Okay, so started on time.
Started on time, went mm-hmm. off without a hitch. We were actually in the very first corral.
Yeah.
So, as I understand it, there were supposed to be a couple minutes between corrals.
Right.
But we can't verify sure. that, so I'll just yeah. assume that's what it was. Went off, like I said, on time without a problem. It's a good thing that they did corrals, and it's a good thing that I'm assuming that they separated them because it was kind of congested at the beginning, but yeah. not like in a bad way. It was just if you didn't separate people, right. it would have been a problem,
right.
maybe. But you just basically start running in this Golden Gate Park, and it's kind of a really cool place to run. Starts yeah. with a little bit of an uphill.
Right.
And then after that, it's kind of basically cruising downhill for a while.
Yeah.
I think the first 5K is really fast.
Mm-hmm. You're just like flying.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This
feels great. I could do this all day.
And like I said, I was in the corral with you, so I actually put a time closer to you and mm-hmm. a time faster than what I was going to average. But, you know, when I start at a corral, or when I start in a corral that's a little bit faster than what I am, I go with the crowd just because I always feel weird. I don't want to be in the way.
Mm-hmm.
So I went with the crowd. So I set out blazing.
You were flying too.
Yeah. My first mile and a half was crazy fast. So, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Because it was mostly downhill. But yeah, so the first 5K was a lot of downhill mm-hmm. through the park. Very beautiful.
A lot of eucalyptus trees. Yeah, I mean, it's just pretty.
Yeah. It's just a really cool place to run. There was one aid station in the first 5K, which was perfect. I mean, there was lots of volunteers. Had plenty of water. Did they have Gatorade at every single one? Every single one.
Yep.
So they did a great job. I mean, I guess I should say through the whole race, the volunteers were actually awesome.
Yep.
Give them mad props.
One complaint on the volunteers.
They were all super cheerful and super encouraging and super excited. And
like they really wanted to be there.
Yeah.
Or they made it seem like
they pretended very well.
I'm not sure that they really wanted, but it seemed like they really wanted to be there and they're having a good time out there.
Yeah. But there was plenty of them. There was plenty of water, plenty of Gatorade. I didn't see any problems at all with aid stations or anything like that.
Nope.
I think they just like nailed that like 100%. So,
and it seems like they were, I mean, I don't know what group this was, but it seems like it was probably like a high school group
or something.
It was like that age. So, but they all did a really good job. So, yeah.
So after the first 5K, you kind of hit down towards Ocean Beach, mm-hmm. which is along the coast there. And we basically do 5K along the beach, which is
right.
You know, you're kind of doing a mile and a half out. You actually have a straight up turnaround and you do a mile and a half straight back. Which is kind of the middle of the 5K of the race. And it's kind of cool being down there on the beach. Like we said, it was kind of a nice day.
Yeah.
It's
really nice being able to see the ocean right there, you know?
Well, it's weird because I haven't been to Ocean Beach in a long time. But we first started running along the highway there. And I look over and, you know, the beach is there. You know, the water is there. But it's basically like big grassy sandy hills.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't see anything. And I'm like, oh, this is kind of a bummer. I'm like, I hope it's not like this the whole way. But you know, it was like that for maybe a quarter mile, half a mile, and then it kind of opens up.
You can
up,
really see it.
And you can see the ocean, and that's kind of really cool. Like I said, a perfect day to kind of do that. But
and there's, like you said, you know, you're running out like a mile and a half and then running back like a mile and a half. So you get to see people, you know, because it's a turnaround. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, I kind of like those now. So you get to see a lot of people. It just keeps you, you know, occupied, keeps your brain busy.
Yeah. I actually stopped and pulled off and actually shot video of you kind of running by on the other side. So
that's pretty funny.
I sacrificed cool. some time.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
There you go. Get you a video. Which was actually cool.
With the ocean in the background. With the ocean in the background. Yeah.
So I don't know when we'll get that kind of opportunity. Well, for sure, for me to stop in the middle of the race to do that.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen too often. So, yeah, the middle 5K was kind of flat. Like we said, the, mm-hmm. the first 5K was fast. Middle 5K is pretty flat there right. along the beach. And then you kind of head back towards Golden Gate Park.
Yeah.
And you kind of have to return to where you came from. So the last 5K, very hard. It's like 2 miles straight uphill.
Yeah.
Is what it,
yeah,
I mean.
It is like 2 miles just straight uphill.
I'd like to say that's what it felt like, but that's what it was.
So, yeah, that's what it
so
was.
So it was a really tough finish to the race.
Right.
Kind of cool though. You're back in Golden Gate Park. It's kind of pretty again. There was actually, they actually have a bison paddock.
Which
over
I
there.
Completely missed, but everybody was talking about it afterwards.
So yeah. So I did shoot a picture of the bison for you. There Yikes. You go. So you can kind of see what you missed.
I know. How that was cool. I missed that.
So yeah.
I just had like my head down, like, ugh.
Trekking uphill. No, I mean, it was tough. I mean, it wasn't so much how steep the hill was. It was just long.
Yeah.
But, you know, still cool surroundings. Mm-hmm. I was thinking to myself while I was running that I'd actually like to return to Golden Gate Park and just do some running there in general.
Yeah.
But it's kind of not the easiest place to get to for me on a regular basis or anything like that.
Right.
I don't live in San Francisco, so that's not the most convenient. But, yeah, anything else on the course?
No. I mean, I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then coming through the finish line.
Yeah, finish. There was actually quite a few people at the finish.
Yeah.
Don't know how they all got there. It's not the easiest place to get to, but
yeah.
Lots of people lining the finish, across the finish line. Yay. There wasn't too many photographers out there. There's a couple.
Yeah. And I think if they ever post official photos, I think I'm going to have one good one where I'm like looking good. And the other ones are not going to be good because I didn't even realize they were there until like way later. So I don't know. I could have been spitting or I don't know. Who knows?
what you were
be,
doing?
Yeah, they're going to be bad pictures.
Yeah. So across the finish line, I mean, there's no medal. So
right.
Not a lot of congestion at the finish line.
Right.
You don't have to grab that.
But you get bottle of water.
Bottle of water.
And then they had Gatorade.
Which is unusual because when we say Gatorade, they actually had Gatorade in cups.
Yeah, like what you would have like an aid station.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an aid station right after the finish line,
mm-hmm.
which
actually
seems crazy to me, but it shouldn't. But most races you usually get, you know, maybe a Gatorade bottle
mm-hmm.
or just a water bottle or something like that. But it was cool that they just had cups of Gatorade. So that
was
kind of nice. And same volunteer group doing a great job
mm-hmm.
at the finish line.
Yep.
Is that pretty much, that was it? That was at the finish, right?
Yeah.
That like was, right there immediately.
Yeah, that was
line.
It right there. Oh, on the course, there was, excuse me, on the map, what do they call it? A chocolate station.
Oh, yeah.
At like mile six, which I did not see at all. Apparently, from what I heard, it was part of the water station that was there, but they had like little pieces of chocolate like in cups or something. So
yeah.
I completely missed it. I was expecting like, I don't know what I was expecting. Just like chocolate everywhere.
You're
I don't
expecting
know.
Expecting like a big fondue thing going on?
No,
or, you know?
Not like that, but just like something obvious where I could see like, oh, there's chocolate on the table. Let me get some or I don't know, something.
Yeah, whenever
something
I threw
obvious because I didn't, because I was looking. I'm like, oh, this is supposed to be the chocolate station. Where's the chocolate?
So. Yeah, all I saw, I heard volunteers yelling chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. And I kind of, at the time I was busy running and concentrating on my speed at the time, but I kind of looked over and I didn't really see anything. All I just saw was lots of cups. Because there was Gatorade there and water there. And so, yeah, somebody said that there was chocolates inside of cups.
Right.
I wasn't sure when they were saying chocolate and they had cups. Was there hot chocolate in the cups? I don't know. That
would have
been kind of cool.
That.
But,
I would have taken that.
So we're not exactly sure what they had.
Right.
Since we
so if anybody actually saw the chocolate at the chocolate station, let us know.
Can confirm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, so finish
fast
line,
forward to finish line.
Yeah. Finish line. You just get your water and your Gatorade. And then you actually make your way back towards that music concourse, which is basically a big grassy area.
Mm-hmm. So short little walk.
Short little walk.
Yeah.
Real easy. Actually went over there very quickly. And then you kind of head over to one end of the park there, and they have where you get your chocolate goodies, I guess.
Yeah, your finisher's mug, I guess is what they call it.
Do they have any signs up? I don't even know what it
says
over there.
Yeah, finisher's mug.
Oh, is that what it said?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Yeah, that's actually what this is.
I was oblivious.
Yeah, so you head over there, and you have a tab on the bottom of your bib.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says finisher's mug, so tear it off, turn it in, get your mug. And we have a picture of that up, too, in our photo album. But you get hot chocolate. Which was actually hot.
Mm-hmm.
It was really good. I think they used Ghirardelli for that because the cups were Ghirardelli. So I'm assuming
okay. I didn't notice
that they used Ghirardelli chocolate for that. And then it had chocolate fondue and you got a couple things that you can dip in there. So like a little package of pretzels. You got one marshmallow, which I think you would have liked more than one marshmallow.
It was kind of funny. I was like, one marshmallow. But...
Yeah. A banana and some other little cracker things that I can't think of right now. And then a little like towelette or wipe.
Well, you got a towelette.
I know.
Well,
most people got it. The nice thing was, though, it wasn't busy at all. I think when any of us came through and we were all kind of there at different times, it wasn't that busy. Like, you didn't have to wait in long lines for it. And they didn't, like, fill it or serve it until you were there.
Right.
So it's not like they just had it standing on tables, which makes sense if you have to do the chocolate fondue and the hot chocolate, mm-hmm. but I also wouldn't have been too shocked if it was already like pre-served. Mm-hmm. So that was nice because the hot chocolate was hot.
Yeah, I walked up. I got mine, no problem. Yeah. Everybody around me just walked up, got theirs, was basically ready to go. They just asked you to tear off the thing from your bib.
Yeah.
The hot chocolate was the best hot chocolate I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
I can say that with 100% conviction. I think that really might have been because it was so rich in chocolate.
Yeah, it was really good.
But it was really good and really awesome. The hot chocolate, I don't really care about the, you know, the fondue and the marshmallow. That was all good, but, you know.
Well, you're not a big chocolate person in terms of that sort of thing.
That type of, yeah.
Yeah. I loved it, by the way. I was just kind of bummed I couldn't eat more chocolate. Because, like, at one point, you just get to the point where you're just like, okay, I'm, like, done. You know, like, I wish I can kind of save this, but you kind of can't. The chocolate part itself.
And those mugs are, they're plastic.
Yeah.
They're not, I don't want people to think, if you look at the picture, I mean, you can't really tell it's not a ceramic mug. It's actually a plastic mug, but, you know. Is what it is. I mean, yeah. I can't really complain about it or anything. Mm-mm. So,
and then what we were talking about earlier in terms of kind of it being odd that the 5K people started before the 15K. And then I was kind of thinking about it while I was running and then while I was there in the finish area that I think this is all me, just what I kind of came up with, that I think they did it that way to kind of stagger people finishing instead of all of us kind of finishing around the same time. If the 5K started after us, is to kind of have all the 5K people come through the finish, the finisher's mug, the whole concourse, and the shuttles before the 15Kers kind of came through. So to kind of stagger so it doesn't bottleneck. That's my thought.
I'm on board with your theory.
Yeah.
And it definitely limited the congestion.
Right.
I'm sure there was people that did the 5K and were on the shuttle or back at their car on their way home.
Exactly.
By the time we finished.
Yeah.
Which definitely made it, like I said, much less crowded.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't feel like, I mean, we said it didn't feel like 10,000 people at the start. Didn't feel like 10,000 people at the finish either.
Nope.
I mean, we were sitting on the park benches there in the middle of the park.
Yeah, you know, and there were plenty of like empty benches.
Yeah, normally you do a big race, 10,000 people, you can't find a seat. You're kind of on the lawn or in the corner or somewhere. And there was kind of plenty of places.
Just standing somewhere. Yeah.
Plenty of places to kind of stand out and or to sit down and, you know,
or
relax.
Stand, I guess.
I guess you could stand too. Yeah.
But the point was that there was plenty of places to sit.
Yeah, so that's the post-race, what you got.
Uh-huh.
What else do we want to say kind of post-race there?
Gear check was, in terms of getting my stuff, was easy. Took some more pictures. That was pretty much it, I guess.
Yeah, that's kind of the race.
Yeah.
Do we kind of want to talk about just how did your run go, personally?
Sure. Yeah, mine went really well, actually. I didn't really have a specific time, because, I mean, I've never run a 15K before.
Well, we both nailed PRs here.
Yeah, right.
Having
absolutely.
Never done a 15K
exactly.
before, so this one, PR, awesome.
Yeah. So I didn't really have a set time goal, even just a pace. I wasn't sure what I was going to do. I guess I was hoping to kind of be around 8-minute mile pace.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, of course, when like that 2 or 3 miles were like downhill, you know, and at the moment I'm like, wow, I'm way ahead of that. You know, I'm like 7-something.
This is so easy.
But still in the back of my head, I'm like, okay, just keep going because I know towards the end, you know, it's definitely going to be like a positive split race. You know, like towards the end, I'm going to be losing some time here. But I think my overall time was like a 1:12-something, which ended up being a 7:46 pace, which I'm thrilled about because I felt like I was pushing a little bit, but not like pushing extremely hard,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't want to do. Because I didn't want to, you know, mess up my foot, my ankle. Like, this wasn't like an A race for me or anything. But I did push a little bit when I realized, like, oh, I'm actually, you know, moving pretty well. So it actually built up my confidence, if that makes sense. You know, that's kind of been lacking a little bit, you know, with like the foot and the ankle and just having to take some time off and all of that. It felt like, okay, I'm back, you know, it felt good.
I could see that.
So, yeah. But overall, I mean, I just really enjoyed the course, kind of the whole event. Like, I don't really have anything. I mean, I just had a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess that's really it in terms of my specific race for me personally. So
yeah, I mean, for me, it was, I had no time goal.
Yeah.
For me, this was getting my training plan called for 9 miles, which is what this 15K is, 9.3 miles, right? Although I guess my training plan said 9 because I'd already registered for the race and I kind of made my training plan say 9.
But... So you should have stopped at 9 and just been
I'm done. This is all extra miles.
Yeah.
I actually went over my mileage then for the week.
Yeah.
But yeah, no time goals or anything like that. I didn't really care. This was just a 9-mile training run. Started out super, super fast. Got to the 5K mark. I started so fast that I kind of slowed down towards the 5K mark and our friend caught up to me and she was like, going back up that hill is going to suck. And I'm like, yeah, it's going to suck, you know, because it was really fast at the beginning. But went out on Ocean Beach, and that was kind of really cool. Enjoyed the views. Kind of still running pretty hard at that point. I got close to the, I guess I could see the 6 mile mark off in the distance, which was an aid station. And I guess we can have a whole debate on this, but decided to kind of push it just so I can get a really fast 10K time.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of why I blew through that chocolate aid station and
didn't see what was happening.
Didn't see what was going on there. I think I grabbed the water really quick there. I'm not even sure, but definitely pushed it through to the 10K mark. So I did get a 10K PR,
mm-hmm.
if you believe that that should count. So I know that some people believe that you shouldn't count PRs for distances that are in the middle of other distances or longer distances. Does
right.
that make sense?
Yeah.
So this was a 15K. At the 10K mark, I actually scored a 10K PR, but some people say that shouldn't count.
Right.
Because it's not a separate race.
Because it wasn't a 10K race.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know where you stand. If you got a strong opinion either way, let me know. I'm kind of curious. So I was just actually pretty happy that that actually was a 10K PR for me.
Mm-hmm.
So I actually shaved about a minute off my 10K, which...
That's quite a bit.
I said before, my 10K PR was actually pretty slow. So I should be able to beat that pretty easily. But so did my 10K PR. So I'm going to take credit for it.
Yeah.
I don't care. And then it was kind of like another half mile. Then we entered the park and I pretty much just packed it in from there on. And it was like uphill and I didn't really care what my time was or anything like that. So my last 5K was definitely very, very slow. I stopped at the Bison to take pictures.
Yeah.
And I definitely took some other pictures even before that along the beach there. So yeah, to be honest, I don't even know what my total time was. I think I ran a 10 minute pace flat. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
I mean, obviously,
it's a good time.
Like I said, the first 10K was much faster than what my last 5K was.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But yeah, it was really cool. I will say overall, like I said, I had really low expectations coming into this race, and this race kind of turned it around on me and impressed me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually super happy with the race.
Yeah,
I thought it was a super fun race. It's a race I would definitely recommend for you locally, and
it was very organized.
Yeah, it was super organized.
Volunteers were
volunteers.
Awesome.
I mean, I really, and if you know me during this podcast,
right.
I'll usually find something to complain about, but I can't really say that I can complain about anything at this race.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, we bypassed the shuttle and just did our own parking, which is fine. But I mean, it appears that the shuttle thing went fine and no problems.
Right. From what
no
we heard, what we back, could tell so. Wasn't an issue. So.
And, you know, it is, you know, you don't get a medal, but considering you get a hoodie, that's actually, I think, pretty cool. I mean, mm-hmm. you're going to get more use out of a hoodie than you will a medal.
True.
Especially if you do a lot of races and you got a lot of medals already. You know, it's kind of cool having the hoodie, which actually the logo's kind of like embroidered on
mm-hmm.
there. So it's actually pretty good looking. So, but overall, I mean, I was...
And you get chocolate.
The chocolate, no complaint.
Chocolate
the announcer at the beginning said 660 gallons of chocolate.
A hot chocolate.
The race, of hot chocolate.
Of hot chocolate. So yeah. That doesn't even include the amount of chocolate they had for the fondue.
Well, no, that's probably included.
You think so? I don't think so.
I'm going to say yes, but neither one of us have any basis to judge.
I'm
going
to just go with no.
but he did say at the start 660 gallons of chocolate or hot chocolate. I don't know.
He said hot chocolate. But,
okay.
But I guess technically they're both hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did have mile markers at every single mile.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And the
clearly displayed
there.
With the clock. And
yeah,
then
the clock 5K
and 10K
splits.
Yeah.
Actually, need to get my official. The initial results didn't actually have the 5K, 10K splits, but I'm pretty sure they'll put them up.
That was the other thing. They actually put up the initial results that afternoon, which
is so it was quick.
Pretty quick turnaround time.
Yeah. So like I said, you know, I can definitely recommend the SF1 for me personally.
Right.
I would assume that, you know, this is they have their system that they just lay out and they kind of take around the country. So
yeah.
as long as they kind of copy what they did here, I will just hope that the rest of the races around the country are kind of the same quality, but no complaints. Totally recommend it. Had a fun. It was weird because we were talking to people after the race and everybody was kind of like, oh, this was really fun. This was really nice. The course was cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like everybody was kind of like,
a great place.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Like really glad, really glad I did it.
Yeah. Me too.
Yeah.
Now, like I said, you know, originally I said if it wasn't for the podcast, I don't know if I would have gone and done this race.
Yeah.
But I'm super glad that I did because it was fun. I'm not sure. I'd like to go back and do it next year.
Uh-huh.
Because it was fun, but I don't know. You know, it's just one of those, oh, I did it last year. Do I really want to come back and do the same race this year? I don't know.
Right.
But totally recommend it if you're local. So good alternative for those that stayed home and didn't go to Disney.
Especially. There you go. That's a good point.
All right. Anything else we want to say about the race?
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
Like you said, go head over to our Facebook page and Google Plus page, and we got some pictures over there if you kind of want to see what things looked like out there on the course.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, no, two thumbs. I actually had a really lot of fun. I kept saying that. Post-race, I'm still saying it now, and I'm...
Yeah, it really was a lot of fun. I mean, in terms of, like, doing it again next year or not, like how you mentioned. Mm-hmm. I think it's one of those things like, yeah, okay, I did it this year. Do I want to do it again? I think if there's another race that's going on that same weekend that I haven't done, maybe I'll do that.
Right.
But if it's like, oh, I don't really have anything going on like that weekend or the weekend before, it's like, yeah, go out there and do it again.
Yeah,
so I don't have anything bad to say about it at all.
Yeah, in January, if you're not going to Disney, there's not necessarily a lot going on. So, and in terms of price, it wasn't that expensive of a race. I mean, mm-hmm. it was a 15K. I think we paid around 60-something
yeah.
bucks.
But you do get the with half-zip discount, hoodie. But,
yeah, which yeah. to me, you know, I think it's worth at least $20 to $30 in
yeah,
value.
Absolutely.
You know, even has the little, what do you call those things? The little holes?
Oh, the little thumb hole things. Yeah, those were awesome. That was I love those. Yeah.
All right. So we've talked about the race. Let's jump to some feedback before we get out of here. And then I have to go for a run. who did we hear from this week? Brian shot us a message because we were talking last week about coastal trail runs. Mm-hmm. Kind of asked if anybody had any experiences with them. He's done their races before. Kind of gives them a two thumbs up.
Right.
He's actually going to do some of the races coming up. He's going to be at Steep Ravine coming up.
Yeah.
I just said coming up like 14 times in
right.
a row.
Yeah, awesome. So coming up. Yeah. No, this weekend. So good luck at Steep Ravine this
right.
weekend, Brian. Because it's coming up. Okay. All right. Moving on.
We heard from Margo, who was asking some questions about Bay Breeze, because we mentioned that race. We're going to be out there, kind of a local race here. And she's going to be out there with her entire family.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of doing the family thing, which is cool. She's doing the half, I think, husband and the kid.
Or doing the 5K thing.
Yeah. So
yeah.
That'll be fun. We'll have to see how many miles he has to carry the little one. Because that's always what it comes down to, right? And
I'm thinking it might be a stroller because he's a little guy.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
And she just became a half fanatic.
Yeah.
Another one. Several listeners becoming half fanatics lately. So congrats on that. We heard from Dave, who's training for Napa Valley Marathon, right?
Yeah.
He's actually switched to kind of training on time, not on distance. For long runs.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I thought about doing a couple years back, but I think I'm too into like a metric, I guess. I don't know. Kind of have to hold myself to the miles.
The miles?
Yeah.
Okay.
Otherwise,
because otherwise, I'm just going to walk for the whole
I don't think
hours.
I could run for time and then be, you know, okay, I ran for 2 hours, but I'd be like, how many miles did I do?
Yeah.
And what was my pace? And I would get really into that. So I don't know. He also let us know that Sports Basement had a pretty cool discount going on here in mm-hmm. NorCal.
So appreciate that.
Yeah, we've gotten so little rain and snow here in Northern California that they basically did a discount where it was 20% off until it snows.
Yeah.
So.
Which I don't think it snowed yet.
I don't think
yeah.
so. Not if they're counting real snow.
No.
All right. What are we jumping to next? Well, we heard from Lee. Who
right.
kind of shared his story.
Mm-hmm.
About him and his wife, who have actually had quite a journey over the last several years.
Yeah. Big transformation, I think, you know, physically getting healthier
mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, eating better, eating right, running, being mm-hmm. being a big part of that, but just being healthier family overall. And then, you know, thanks for sharing that email in terms of kind of taking us on your journey and the pictures too, which actually
right.
kind of really brought that home in terms of kind of a before and after picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess that's the best way to describe it. Yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations on all that mm-hmm. success and kind of making changes.
Right.
Also heard from Scott, who is had quite a journey of his own.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of cool hearing about that one, and congratulations on that one as well. He's actually going to be at Route 66 this year. So
yeah.
Hopefully we'll see you out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see you at the, what is it? Center of the Universe?
That's right.
Is that yeah. what it is? Yeah. Well, hopefully before then. But
forgot that. That'll be a little bit more than a marathon.
Yeah.
Forgot about that. Congrats to Karen. She was actually at Hot Chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, I think, agreed with us on the hills. And I think enjoyed the race.
Yeah.
We heard from Ruth, who it's very cold where she is at. So mm-hmm. she actually enjoyed kind of listening about our warmer weather.
Yeah. I know. I feel guilty almost talking about like, oh, we ran in San Francisco and it was warm and, or not warm, but, you know, sunny. And yeah. Anyways.
I feel very guilty sometimes about
yeah.
talking about the weather we have here. I mean, we didn't really mention it, but I mean, during the Hot Chocolate, I actually ditched I didn't throw them away. I kept them, put them in my pocket, my arm warmers and my gloves.
Yeah. So you were out there in shorts and a short sleeve shirt,
yeah.
right? Yeah.
I
know. I almost feel guilty saying that
or
admitting that.
A little hot.
Yeah.
Even with that. So, heard from Beth, who is out at Disney mm-hmm. and, getting it done. I'm sure she had fun. Actually followed along with several different people.
Yeah.
She was one of
the
them,
progress.
But followed several people on Facebook and Twitter, and was kind of interesting, kind of feeling jealous that we weren't there. But yeah, she got it done. Kind of learned that she could do a marathon without maybe the best in training.
Right.
Although she said she'd like to avoid it.
In the future?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm kind of right there with you because I kind of did Chicago and CIM without the training that I
Yeah, so you know you can do it, but
yeah, I can do it, but
would rather not do it that way.
Which is my plan for the next 4 months, kind of get the training in so I feel good at Big Sur. So,
yeah.
Right there with you. And then we heard from Sarah, who's actually kind of, I think, interested on the hot chocolate race report because there's one close to her.
Yeah, she's thinking about signing up.
Yeah. So
I'd just do it.
I guess sign up for it. Mm-hmm. Do it. Should be fun, hopefully. All right. Is that kind of going to do it?
I think that's it. Oh, you know, one other random thing. I just want to, talking about Disney Marathon weekend, I just want to give a shout out to Heather for doing her first marathon.
Yeah, congratulations.
Yeah, and I hope you feel better soon.
Yeah.
Because I think you're doing Tinkerbell next weekend, so yeah. Hang in there.
Yeah, she's feeling a little...
Under the weather.
Yeah, yeah. That's really bad timing.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, anything else? I just want to mention our listener survey. Lots of people have taken it. Thank you.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, that's going to be up until January 23rd if you haven't gotten a chance to take that, kind of give us some feedback on the show. Anything else?
That's it.
All right, I think that's going to wrap it up. I have to go do a 4-mile run right now. All right,
and I'm going to go rest.
Yes, get well.
The website for the podcast is embracerunning.com. You could find us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracerunning. Send us any comments, questions, or feedback at feedback@embracerunning.com or leave us a voicemail at 925-400-7223. If you enjoy the show, give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, embrace running.